Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues. On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Sorry for the late delay, everyone. We just had a little bit of a wiring problem. Here. All right, we made it to Friday. So TGIF, everybody. Have a happy weekend. For those of you that are out there and you're hanging out with me, thank you very much. It means a lot. You guys are making me feel like we are definitely worthy of your time. So I appreciate that with all my heart. So, to Valley Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York with the best of live R&B events all over the best of venues in New York City as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. Also to my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yevers, Monster Miles, CJ Tomerka, Rodney Williams, and of course, last but not least, that awesome panelist and great activist out there in Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Fetty Williams. To the rest of you guys that are out there helping me along here, Stalo Jenkins, Al Tariq Atkins, Patrick Irvine, our team, Zayed Bey, Professor Carlton Jones, you guys have been fantastic. I want to thank our new caller that came in, Miss Renee. You are another great quality addition to everything. And to those of you who have indulged me in the pre-broadcast questions, I want to thank you all very much because tonight's topic is based off of your feedback of that particular discussion. Tonight, we are going to be speaking about the sagging trends and the skinny jeans trend. Are these just silly trends, or is this an effeminization of our men? So, we are going to go out with a couple of things, because you guys all know me. When my Knicks are hot, my Knicks are hot. So, going out with the Knicks, our pre-broadcast song, and then word from our sponsors. After that, we will be back to start this discussion. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. KL Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoot.com. Kenneth Foot, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. Okay, we are going to get started, everybody. We are going to be speaking about the sagging trend and skinny jeans. Mainly the sagging trend, everybody, because I think that's what's been our biggest sticking point. Okay, we have been forced fed looking at people's behinds, their underwear being exposed, some of them wearing it in the worst of fashions. We have made every valiant effort, it is to our children at least, about explaining why this particular fashion isn't the best. We have a range of reasons why not. First of all, there's many people who have reasons for not liking the particular sagging trend because sagging originated for them in prison. There's been many stories behind what it represented, from having no belt and no shoelaces, you know, which is the reason why the pants were falling, to that actually being a deliberate sign telling everybody that as a young man, I'm wearing my pants this way to let you know that I'm available. Available for sex, available for solicitation, whatever it is that happens in, you know, behind the cell doors. But in addition, it's not a good look. It's offensive to many people because underwear is supposed to be private and intimate between you and whoever you choose to share yourself with. But walking in public on the buses and things to that effect, who wants to see it? There are a lot of people who are not so physically fit that it's not a good look that way. There's a lot of people who don't even take pride in keeping the underwear clean that they're exposing. So in so many ways, aside from it just not being a good look, it's over the top. Now, in addition to that, we have the other thing, which is now the skinny jeans. Skinny jeans, which, I don't know, it's... Skinny jeans I can equate to, like, girls that used to dance in actual theater and on stage, Rebellion back in the 50s, things to that effect, and guys weren't really much into that. I've noticed that a lot of times, I remember the days when men were really very careful about the way they dressed for whatever their reasons were. Either they really didn't want to give off any kind of mixed signals to anyone that they were feminine in any way. They didn't want to entice any homosexuals because, you know, ignorant minds or viewpoints on certain things, they don't know how to balance out, you know, just understanding that a person who's homosexual doesn't necessarily happen to like them in particular. So men just, there was just a code among men with the way that they dress. Many men still believe that they're going to dress the way they used to dress and that there's still a strict code of what makes a male and what makes a female. And the big debate that came among my listeners and my group members and those that were on my social media we all kind of came to a common ground where society now, as we spoke to in our last segment, society has accepted homosexuality and all these other things as a widely open thing to do, like it's a normal thing to happen. And because of that, there's very little emphasis anymore on etiquette. Even to the point where now you can pretty much come out half naked or with transparent fashions, things that you might as well not have anything on, and it's something that's considered, you know, high fashion now. So the deal is this. With that being said, what exactly is the message that we're sending out? Is sagging pants, where guys are now comfortable not only exposing their undergarments, but clearly you can see their butt beneath it. So guys are okay with this. And ladies, these young girls now are starting to think that if guys are not doing this, they are not cool. So many things have ranged in our pre-broadcast question where people have even gone so far as to say that men are doing it because women accept it. Now, why is that something that can be used as an excuse, especially for grown men? I can understand kids. Teens are silly. They will adopt the stupidest crap and think it's cool and make a phase out of it. Then they'll grow up and go, oh, my God, we were just like that. How stupid were we? But what is the excuse for our grown men, especially our African-American men, considering the fact that we just spoke about how lately there's been a rash of coming out of the closet in the sports world for African-American men? Is this something that we can just pass off as it's just a silly phase of fashion that's going to pass over, or is it really contributing to the effeminization of our men? On the other hand, if you say yes, then explain what you can call a phase for grown men. So I do have a panelist ready to come in and start speaking, so let's get that started. Welcome to the show, Carl. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and hello to the rest of the panel and out there in the broadcast world.
Hey there, Deacon. How are you? All right.
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
The sagging trend and the skinny jeans, do you believe this is just silly fashion phases that we're going to have to just go through, it'll tide over, or do you believe that with the way everybody's really racing out to do this, that it's sort of contributing to the effeminization of our men?
Well, it's certainly contributing to the feminization of our black men. And the thing is that this young group really don't understand where the sagging comes from. And if they happen to get themselves in any trouble and have to go on the wrong side of the law, they'll find out where it came from. And if they go into jail with that sagging, they are going to be a bullseye on their back. And as far as these skinny jeans, I can't see myself or any other man wanting to wear some skin-tight jeans. Come on now. I like to see them on a woman. No, I don't have a problem with that. But skin-tight jeans on a guy, come on. Come on, that's very distasteful. There's nothing masculine about it, and there's nothing masculine about sagging your pants, and nobody wants to see your butt crack or the color drawers or what type of drawers that you're wearing.
I mean, I'm inclined to agree because of the fact that I don't get the necessity of that in the first place. Why is it that, you know, that, why do we always adopt the most negative projected image as a cool fact to identify our culture with? Why is it we always accept the silliest things? One of the things was we turned the word nigger into nigga, and we made it a cool fad thing. Why is it that something that many people know to be a prison statement or fashion from prison, or pretty much it used to be something that our men, and I see you there, panelists, I'll bring you in just a sec. It used to be that our men were very, very strict and careful about the way they dressed because they didn't want to give off signals that, A, they were feminine, or, B, that there were any homosexuals around them. That used to be the fear and the paranoia that would take it upon themselves to get attracted to them, because everybody doesn't seem to understand that although homosexuality may not be agreed upon, or maybe a choice, or it's not normal to some people, the fact is that they have a certain code like anybody else. They are attracted to who they're attracted to. Just because you're male and they're a homosexual male doesn't mean they like you in particular. But that's not the way that, that men on the whole believe. So my thing is, suddenly now it's gone from everybody being super careful in the male race to now it's the biggest acceptable thing. And on top of that, it used to be something that ladies, girls, didn't find cute, used to think they were silly, and now all of a sudden, it's like the gangster thing to do. It's the bad boy look. It's the fuck thing. It's, you know, what the hell are we selling ourselves? And what's getting me most is, we speak often, Deacon, about the generation that dropped the ball. What's getting me most is that nowadays, you have older guys sagging with their damn sons, or skinny genie with their damn sons.
Yeah, and that looks even more ridiculous than the younger group, for an older person to be walking around sagging.
Absolutely, and I'm going to say this because I believe that in one of our very early on segments about this, I brought this up. When you start seeing 75-year-old men who are sagging, not because they're old and incapable anymore, but because they think they're going to get a honey, that is not cute, it's not sexy, it's indecent damn exposure. Okay, because sagging with your friends is not attractive, ladies and gentlemen. Now,
I mean, listen,
you're getting to the point now where what you believe is attractive shouldn't be something that makes you look ridiculous. Frankly, when I first saw it, I used to start saying your pants are falling, you need a belt, or they were too big. Now the skinny jeans, these guys are going ridiculous. I'm seeing some of these guys that are pretty much sucking in their breath just to be able to fit into these jeans. It's not an attractive quality. I mean, what is the attraction? We have two more panelists coming in. Let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD and the panel, and to the show.
Hi, Tariq. How are you?
All right. How you doing, my brother?
I'm all right. Just glad that y'all are well as well.
All right.
It was me that said welcome, not the brother. What you calling me a man? That's it. That's it. We're having a fight after school. All right. One second. There's one more behind you, Tariq. You'll have the mic up first. One second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Thalo Jenkins of Carlos L.B. Jones from D.C.
All right, you're up after Al-Tariq. The sagging trend and the skinny jeans phenomenon. Do you believe these are just silly fashion trends that'll blow over as a phase, or is it contributing to the effeminization of our males?
Well, I believe that that it can be the thing about the effemination of the male. I believe that that can play a role. But when I really been looking at the trend itself over the last so many years, and it's like a pop thing, and it's something that's not only equated with that, but, you know, see the white guys. They even made a song one time. And the guy, he's not making anything anymore, but he was from Florida. He said, I don't wear, I don't wear them tight jeans like the white boys. See, and that was just starting to get popular then, you know, when he had, I can't remember his name. And daggone, now it's crossed over to where you see us doing that. And I remember back in the earlier mid-80s when people were in Lee's and the hip-hop code of dress was real heavy, you know, we had on stuff that fit us, but they weren't skinny jeans, though, you know? And, I mean, I'm like, this is taking it too far. You got to wear, I put up a picture tonight, a Lil Wayne, and he had on stuff where they show, like, these leopard-looking, spandex-looking pants. And I had posted that today.
And then they had with tight jeans on with some high heel boots on, and guess what? What was said over it? Swag.
Swag. Oh, my God.
You know, and I'm saying this is crazy nowadays.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'm more really, like, enraged with the sagging trend, and I'm going to tell you why. Well, all three of you that are on this panel, who have you mostly seen wearing the sagging trend? Just think real hard. Who is it that rocks that child more so than anyone else?
Oh, you said the sagging?
Yeah, the sagging happens.
How was separating the
you? I said, yes, who is it
and also
that rocks that? I asked you, said, who is it that rocks that style most?
Well, definitely the youth, also the minorities as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is the African Americans that do it mostly, and it's a sad situation because with everything that they have been putting on us, with every way that we have been, I guess, forced or have accepted living under, which is associated with prison, associated with being a gang or poor, associated with being out there not dressing correctly or having what they say is some civil abilities, okay? We do that. Now, funny thing is, lately, you'll see a lot of Caucasian males but that are doing it. But why are they doing it? Not because it's something that they want to do, but because they think it's hip to be black. You understand? It's that's a hip thing. You're being like the black dudes. You're being like, I hear a lot of it. I see a lot of it. Suddenly now everybody's trying to do it from that angle. And still they'll jump on their suburban commuter trains and head back over and will still put a belt around it because they're not going to go too far with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm going to get to you, Salo, in just a sec. The thing is that one of the things I have a problem with, and we have spoken about this many, many segments running, I have a problem with the fact that everything that we adopt that becomes big and commercial and profitable and everything is always something that deals with either us adopting a culture of something that is meant to be the ultimate insult to us. Or
exactly.
Something that's meant to project us in the words of imager. We happen to take cultures that make us look ignorant, but while it's making us look ignorant and they're laughing at us, they're also using the prophet ability in it.
Mm-hmm.
While not giving us a damn dime of it. And we're sitting there going, yeah, why not? Now, I can't see how it couldn't possibly be attributing to us softening up our men, because I'm going to tell you this. We spoke just what Wednesday or Thursday was it, about how homosexuality, not saying anything against it or that it's right or wrong or a choice or not a choice or normal or not normal. But the point is, it's becoming such a fad, such a thing to do, such an open practice, such a wonderful commercial thing to do, something to admire. Mm-hmm. It's becoming such an open acceptance that now the men that you, I'm telling you, I remember men, if a father saw his son wearing a pair of jeans that even though they weren't tight, they didn't have a little bag in it, a little room in between the legs, there was a smack, a punishment, a degrading something, just for the mere possibility of what could come from it. I remember men wouldn't wear the color pink, and now it's a big thing. So how could it not be attributing or playing a big role into our men not realizing what masculinity means? And I'm going to go to you, Salo, to get your opinion on tonight's topic.
I mean, I totally agree. The trend itself, you know, both the sagging trend and the skinny jean trend, they're connected in a way. And it's funny because, you know, one thing I think this all points out is the fact that whenever the mainstream culture is allowed to actually influence the behavior of our people, and most of the time that's through our children, it's always malicious. It's never beneficial. It's always detrimental. And what it is I feel like they have infused the feminization of the black man into a massive push that they're going towards feminization. Period. You know what I mean? We keep talking about all these things. They keep trying to push the trend of gay and this and that and this and that. And I think, you know, a couple of friends of mine were talking about this a few years ago. We were like, something ain't right. And we felt like the economy in itself is failing so bad. And it's been failing so bad that now it's like the textiles, the people that make clothes and fashions, they need to be able to sell whatever piece of clothing they have to boys and girls, to males and females, which is why you see Lil Wayne coming out, right? And he made the whole skinny jean trend so crazily, you know, popular, but he doesn't even look like he looks like a homosexual female, if anything, you know, as far as his overall persona, you know, with the piercings and things. And and I've heard people even say that about him. I've heard it said many times. So I know that people understand that it's like they're trying to create a unisex culture. And whenever we allow the stuff that they're doing to influence us, it's super detrimental. And we don't need to embrace no unisex culture with these people. You know, the thing about the skinny jeans also, and the whole scope of the fashion and the way they're changing it, because the United States is failing so badly, you know, all of the culture has to ascribe to a certain standard. Now you can't. Now cloth costs so much, you can't use a little bit of cloth in clothes anyway. You know, if you're not making them yourself, you know, if you want to take it there. But then if you really want to keep it in the scope of where they at, you know, if you look at them, you know, and you look at us, you look at the fact that the real reason they caught on so badly in our community is the fact that the children in our community coming up, right, they idolize the hip-hop profiles and the hip-hop idols, right? And in idolizing them, they are also trying to dress like them. Not only are they trying to dress like them, the truth is we are more so in poverty than anybody else in the United States. So as a result of being more so in poverty, our kids don't get new jeans every time they have a growth spurt necessarily. You know, most of them do, but necessarily they don't. So the ones that are a little bit in tune, and remember, we're in the Google era. So being in the Google era, now the kids are overly exposed to what they used to have to look at in the magazine to learn about fashion. So now they're super exposed to fashion, and they don't have necessarily the means that a rich person might have. Clothing costs so much. Cloth costs so much, and they have jeans that they've had for 2 years, and they hit a growth spurt. Boom! And all of a sudden, now you can still look like the rapper with the jeans because you can't afford a new pair. Now you see, it's detrimental to us because our kids don't realize you're not supposed to dress like that when you're a grown man. Once you become a grown man, you got to put on a suit, you got to put on some slacks, you got to put on a shirt and a tie, or at least be able to. So at the end of the day, this is what we see happen when we are not the social engineers. Right now, who's social, you know, of course, they're going to be the social engineers of their own country, our own country, you know, but in our national cause, you know, within the country, and a country that we fought and built, we have to realize that their mainstream culture doesn't really fit with us, as it never will, to a certain extent. You know, certain things don't apply. They can't apply. You know, and a lot of us got caught up in the Google craze and got caught up because we were getting bombarded with too many images. You see what I mean? There were so many images, people got bombarded. You know, the children got bombarded, and the adults didn't know because they didn't have the internet when they were kids. You know, so really, yes, not only is it bad that we are so-called pulling a trend up out of the prison system, but it's also bad because it's being forced on us if we don't put up a block for the kids and our families, because the mainstream is preaching this to them every day. You know, you got to really keep the third. If you want your child to grow up with a knowledge of himself and to be a little thorough and not be all effeminized, you got to put some work into it nowadays. And it's not your fault, but it is the current standard. So therefore, it currently has to be acknowledged, and that's hard, but we got to do it regardless, you know?
That's true. It definitely is. I believe, matter of fact, Stalo, when we were speaking about this on the pre-broadcast discussion, you did bring up that that's probably one of the things that the youth, you know, had, you know, could have gotten started with. They were too poor to get new jeans. So you know what? They probably had to deal with ones that would either be high waters or they would have to stretch them down a little bit to make it look like it fit them. And the whole point is, though, I really, you know what? I don't think I'm angry with the teens for the sagging trend because I expect teens to be absolutely stupid. We're supposed to be stupid as teens, you know? Do dumb stuff, get piercings, spike your hair, color it up, get mad, pierce your nose, piss your parents off. You know, these are the things. I have a problem with the adults. We're supposed to be swatting the ass of those kids that have their pants hanging down showing their underwear. We're supposed to be outraged with their daughters who's trying to follow these guys doing the same thing. But when you got father and son doing twin sagging, we have an issue. Why are you not bonding with your kid and trying to teach him how to grow up and be a real man, how to learn his ABCs, how to learn his algebra? I don't want to grow up one day and be an entrepreneur and not a high-paid flunky. Why aren't you teaching your child that, you know, speaking all this slang garbage is something you're supposed to do when you're chilling with your friends, but know how to act when you're having an interview? Why are you sitting up there trying to show your 40-something-year-old butt? And there are many people who don't even have the damn decency to be, I guess, fit about it, clean about it. There are people that are sag with disgusting underwear. Who cares about seeing what's underneath your pants? And I told you, I ran into something that I swear, if I hadn't had my lunch already, I would have thrown it up. Seeing two senior citizens that are busy on their walkers, okay, with their pants undone, not because they have Alzheimer's, not because they have motility problems, but because they're busy telling the other one how that's what the youngins like these days. We don't like depends, old man. And I'm dead serious. One is 75, one 77, and I can hear them from my window talking about how this is what the young girls like. They don't like depends. I don't care how much they look like real underwear. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering, like, what is the deal? And there are people out there who find it offensive because they've been to jail and they got out for whatever their reasons were. They served their time and they're back in society, and that reminds them of being inside. That reminds them of a few things. A, having lost the rights and privileges to be a human being. Having not been able to be afforded the basics of a shoelace or a belt because it could be considered dangerous to themselves, a weapon to others, or simply a message saying that if you have this, that means you're civilized, but you're a criminal, so you don't have the right. It's also a message that for those that weren't gay going in or worrying about that life, but had to deal with the fact that their pants were too big and they weren't afforded a belt, they had to be careful of not giving that signal out to the other inmates. And then they had to watch other people who were okay with doing that. So to see these young kids who are free, don't have a problem with being you know, in jail, willfully doing this, this is a problem for them. Now, to the rest of us who are not with the trend whatsoever, do we want to be going out at 6 in the morning, going to work, tired, still haven't woke up, the sun hasn't come up, and we're in a crowded bus, have to look up and see your butt in our face? Seriously? Do we want to come home after standing on our feet for 8 hours in a crowded train to see the same? I actually saw a young man who was dressed in professional gear, a suit, a tie. Well, he didn't have the suit jacket. He had a shirt, a tie, and suit pants, nice dress shoes, and the whole nine, with his pants sagging. Only thing was that the dress shirt was covering his underwear. So I said, oh, so this is sagging the professional version. Like, where are we as adults in the situation? Telling them that there's a line to be drawn. Where are we with our kids that nowadays, our children nowadays are dealing with so much crap on top of what already is universal teen peer pressure or teen issues or zits and acne or not being muscular enough for the young man compared to his other people or not being, you know, breasted enough for the young lady. Why on earth would we not sit there and say, regardless to how confused we are, how oppressed we are or whatever, some things are not about that. Some things are you using your brain now. We have an obligation to make sure, forget the big fight right now. The biggest fight you have is your future. And the future is the kids that you breeded. And their friends that you allow in your home. And the classmates that they interact with. It's your job not to sag with them, but to tell them, pull your pants up. Nobody want to see that? That's our job. I'm seeing these grown 40 to 50-something-year-old men and these silly 40 to 50-year-old women who's finding this attractive. Not all of you, so those of you that don't wear the shoes, don't pick them up. Personally, I'm offended. If I don't show my underwear to you, I don't expect to see yours. No matter how you might receive it better than I will receive yours. I really don't care. And then the least you could do if you're gonna sag is wash your underwear, wash your behind, and not really, I guess, spill over the already sagging pants with your beer bellies. It's not cool, people. It's not a cool thing. And there's a lot of people out there that this is offensive for very extreme reasons, as I mentioned earlier. Someone who was wrongfully convicted and still had to serve his time and had to deal with seeing that because he had no choice or she had no choice. Absolutely not something that they want to see when they've put all that behind them and associated into the real world. And they're definitely offended with seeing older people be okay with the youth doing it because they know what it means. So I ask again, could these grown men possibly be just thinking it's something cool to do? Or are they giving up on whatever it is that we've spoken about on so many previous segments and said, well, everybody else is doing it. If I can't get a job, if I can't be a real man, then the least I could do is join the crowd. And in turn, are they sort of subconsciously giving in to the wide acceptance of effeminization? I'm going to ask you, Deacon, and I'm going to go down the panel.
Hello.
Yeah, Deacon, I'm asking you first.
Well, it's amazing that how society can be so accepting of certain things today, and especially with, oh my goodness, it really kind of bothers me because when I say that the elders that dropped the ball failed to be there for these young people to teach them what it means to when you walk out your front door, you're representing not just yourself but the rest of the members of your family. And not just your family, a race of people. And we're supposed to be a very proud nation of people. And right now, they're not showing very much to be proud of, especially when it comes to that sagging thing and with them not realizing that it's basically a signal telling someone in prison that you are available. And for them not to see that, is very amazing to me. I had posted something on Facebook addressing that issue, and it was a young man that was in jail, and he was talking about how he sees he watches some of the young men that come into these jails, and they're coming in sagging, and they don't realize. And he said he approaches a few of them, and he would tell them, he said, "Look, I like you, you know." And he said, "I wanna do some things with you." He said, "You either gonna make it the easy, or you're gonna make it the hard way. It doesn't make any difference to him." And he was talking about it just like it was, you know, just an okay thing to do. But this guy is a life in prison, and he's not gonna. He doesn't care about what you think or have anything to lose in their period. So what it is that we, the elder statesmen of this society, have to start doing better. And a lot of us, I can hear a lot of the older men go around and say, "Well, I can't say nothing to him because these young folks, you can't tell them nothing. They're not going to listen." Well, I used to be one of those folks they used to talk about like that. And believe it or not, the people that I had in my face, a lot of things they told me, I might have not had acted like I was listening then, but it kind of stuck with me. And I thank God for some of those words from some of them people. But it's got to be something that needs to be addressed. The young people have to start opening their eyes and start looking back and try bringing their pride back. And right now, it's not a prideful thing on what they're expressing out here today.
Before I go over to you, Al-Tariq, I want to address one thing you said to get. I don't think it's about the young people right now. I think the first thing that needs to happen is that these grown folks need to pick their pants up. I think
you got that right.
They need to pick up their pants now, and they need to loosen up their seams a little bit on them skinny jeans. Because I think skinny jeans are meant for females. Meant for females,
yeah.
And meant for females. And this is not me being sexist. You guys know I'm as liberal as they come. But this is not a thing that looks good on men. You know, some guys are a little skinny, but they add a little bag to it, and it's kind of offset. Even, listen, if you got to follow these fashion gurus and get some pointers on what really accentuates you, then do that. And for those of you that are homophobic, as we say out there in the world, those might be the ones that address you the best on either gender. Going over to you, Al-Tariq. These grown men doing these things. Let's take the teens out of it, because as I said before, teens are silly. They're supposed to be stupid. They got to make a lot of mistakes before they could get it. Are these grown men, have they given up? Are they subconsciously accepting the gay acceptance? Are they becoming effeminized and really just don't care? You know, is that what you think it could be?
Well, really for like the older people, and like when you really look at it, we are the ones that do the leading, but when you look at peer pressure of the youth, a lot of time that comes from the ones who are within their own age group. And I see a lot of young people just out here, like, you know, that's with the, you know, with the homosexual thing. You know, I see quite a bit of that with, like, the younger ones more so than the older ones, you know. And, you know, as far as what my eyes see more on a daily basis, they're more out there with it, you know, because it's like, you know, well, Obama said it, you know, and it seemed like especially like a bunch of the black ones, you know, and they're just out there with it, like, well, Obama said it was okay. You president, so the hell with it. You know, it is what it is, and I'm out here with it. You know, it's not wrong. It's, they say it's cool by the law, so that's how I'm going to do it. But you have older ones who are still kind of like, you know, trying to be closet-like, you know, even. There's a lot of older ones that's doing certain things, but they're not just broadcasting it like that. They're still keeping in the closet, like how that saying goes, that down low. A lot of that down low still is going on, too. You know, so it's in part, it's like both. The young ones are into it, you know, now more than they was, definitely back in our time. You know, and they're more bold with it, you know. And I've seen an increase, not in just I see actually just as many females that's doing it as males. That's outright out there with it. So, you know, it's just like a big time phenomenon, you know, that's going on. It's just being spread, you know, all across the board with the male and the female, you know. We just got to get it together, you know, period. And what you were saying about, you know, the males, I can even relate to the part of the 80s where when it had, like, first start happening in the streets and how I remember we used to wear those BVD style, those silk T-shirts and the silk drawers, you know, mm-hmm. and how, like, I used to wear a sag, but it wasn't like a sag, like how they got it now. And I used to have it where my pants would come down enough where you could see the color of my underwear matching the rest of my clothes. But dangling off of me, no. You know, they didn't even come way down where you really see. You couldn't even see my butt crack. You could just see the up to where my waist was at and my belt was on right. front and everything was coordinated and stuff like that. Well, like when the generation after me came, it seemed like that's when they start really going there with it, you know, and having the sag down to about almost down to, you know, halfway to your knee and all that stuff in the late 80s. And then it just kept progressing. Some people that I've been in the house, I've heard where certain youth think that that's a manly thing. That is your manhood to wear a sag. And they have these younger parents in their 30s that they wear the sag and their children wear the sag. And they think that that's being manly. So the script has been totally flipped. A lot of teenage boys coming up, they think that that's a manly thing. They don't think of it as being gay in the street. They think of that's a part of manhood. And it's just
so
crazy.
I think not. And you said 30s. I'm seeing a whole lot older men doing it with their kids. I see a whole lot older men. I don't know if it's a midlife crisis thing. I'd rather see a bunch of guys buy motorcycles and get earrings in their ear before I'd rather see their butts. I'll tell you that right now. I would rather see that. I do want to address something after I hear from Stalo. And then, you know, I want to address something that you said. Go ahead, Stalo. Stalo? Okay. Stalo, when you reconnect, it'll be your turn. With regards to what you said about, you know, people think it's a manly thing. I come from a generation of men before me that suspenders, if without them, if you didn't have suspenders, what? That was like a cultural golden rule breaker.
Mm-hmm.
I remember men making sure everything was intact, every button, you know how some men used to have like the top button off so they could show their little chains, and that was supposed to be a little cool, a little swaggish. I remember a lot of my older generation, grandfather and up, I guess, that any amount of skin shown was just an absolute male no-no.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when the first button down or even one or two buttons, when a guy was in the gym or whatever the case was, that was kind of considered cool. But to show any part of anything below the waist, are you kidding me? If it wasn't, of course, the actual sex organ. They weren't into showing their behind. That was like, no, don't even look, what? If you can remember, because we're all about that age bracket, Eddie Murphy had his famous stand-up, I think it was Raw at the time, where he made a comment, like a funny joke, that he keeps moving on the stage because he knows when gays are watching him because his butt gets hot. So he says every so often he's got to switch around and walk the other way. That was the attitude and the fear that men had when they dressed. And I remember that the only thing about men with clothing being loose was that super ugly baggy thing. Now, baggy was cool. Like, you know, let's talk about full fours. You know, I think MC Hammer kind of took it to another level. But even that, he had suspenders with that. Nothing fell off of a man's behind. Nothing fell off of a man's behind in any race. In any race. That was private. It was something that was to be covered. It was something that just wasn't a thing men did. Suspenders, cufflinks. You couldn't even have your wrist open when you were out there dressing up well, because cufflinks was a style back then. They used to compare which type and design they had. It was a cultural thing. Giving cufflinks down to the next generation was a great tradition. Handing the belt for was a great tradition. What the hell happened? And I'm not going to allow anybody to put it off on Obama passing a law that it's okay to come out. Because at the end of the day, you have choices to make. Listen, they say it's okay for you to be pregnant and drink. All right? But that's a choice that I'm going to make for me. At the end of the day, if it's a law that allows you to but doesn't force you to, you have choices to make. And my personal opinion is any damn woman who feels it's okay to have one, two, or three drinks at a bar knowing she's 7 months pregnant needs to be smacked. And I commend any bartender, any bar owner that says no to a woman that's pregnant because of their own convictions. I don't care about what's legal or what's not legal. You can't put discrimination off on that. But it's a law, and some people choose to do it, great. But like I just said, key word here is that it's a choice. I had a guy that answered the pre-broadcast question stating that guys tend to do it. Let's face it, females, it's on you. Men do that because you accept it. How the hell is that our problem? Why is that? Women tend to accept a lot of things of their men because we love different. We lead with our hearts. You guys lead with your bodies first, your egos next. And then all the other stuff comes into play later, and sometimes you still don't have it together. But you're willing to learn, or you're willing to comply, or give in a little bit, compromise. But the whole thing is this. At the end of the day, I can tell you, baby, you look good in those sagging jeans. At the end of the day, what are you comfortable with? I used to have a problem with men wearing anything pink. All right? Pink was always associated with girls, girl babies, girl dresses, girl lace. That was what pink was for. Pink even looked soft. Nowadays, they have all different shades of pink. That's the men trend. Now, I got to say, with the way that it's been hooked up with lately, you really can't see too much feminine in it with the way some of these fashion gurus, you know, put it together. But then again, I've seen the other side of it, where it's as manly as they come in style, but it looks feminine as hell. Now, when they start coming out with men's pink shoes, I think I'm going to throw up. Because I just think that some things you could go with. You know, it used to be that a girl could wear guys' clothes and look sexy in it or whatever it was. Or guys found it cool. But women could sort of do those things because there's certain things about us. And no matter how we wear certain things, you know who we are. It doesn't make us look a certain way. Then again, there are some things that do make us look kind of butch-like. But on the other hand, they're making a lot of male fashions in a female type. So it sort of goes. Like, girls are into sports a lot more now lately. So they're making jerseys for women. They're making hats for women. But now you tell me what guy wearing skinny jeans that, remember back in the day when girls used to wear pants that were so tight and our parents would call it crotch cutters? When guys are wearing crotch cutters, we have an issue. And then I'm seeing guys in skinny jeans with a belt. Something's seriously going wrong here. I'm not talking about straight leg jeans. Because I remember back in the 80s and even the 90s where jeans started to get a little closer cut to the men. But they still look like men jeans. When you start looking like you're wearing dance leotards, it's a problem. I think Renee said it best, where she said it became a thing where now it's not that we have a problem with it. It's a fact now, like, it's becoming the media thing to do. It's becoming the trend to do now. For guys to be like women and women to be like men. The one little valid point that the responder had to the pre-broadcast question when he said women are accepting it, I've seen that too. But I've seen it in the teen girls. I've seen the teen girls looking for the guy who's sagging the most as being the most attractive guy in the room. Once again, folks, that is the attributed to the stupidity of teens. Does it say for a 50-something-year-old to be sagging? For two 70-something-year-old seniors to think that that's the way to go get in with the young ladies? Are you kidding me? And then I'll even say that for seniors, depending on what medicine mix they're taking, that could affect their decisions. But we are losing our roles in life, in our society. Our people are losing their roles. We have lost our understanding of the original strengths that we had, the resourceful people that we are, the capable people that we are. We've lost that. And we lost it because we've given in to so much of what seems to be cult fashions now. Cult fads, mass media thinking, instant fixes. Everybody wants the high road. Nobody wants to walk the high mountains. We put ourselves in such a mess, we can't get out of it, and we're not even trying to. But when we get to the point where we've given up so much on our own walk that we fail our children, that we're not there. Structure to say, I know what you're going to do, all this stuff. I did it. I had 4 earrings in my nose. I smoked weed. I drank. I was out there partying and doing stupid stuff. I was antagonizing the police. When we don't stay where we're supposed to be, to tell our now generation, you can't play games with the police like you used to, because if you're black, you're getting shot. You can't do the same things with piercings that you used to do, because nowadays people are poisoning their needles. You can't wear your clothes exposing your body parts that way, because nowadays pedophiles could be your local teachers. When we are sitting up there trying to indulge in this, you can't beat them, join them mentality, we fail our children. We fail our future. There is no reason why anybody at 49 to 50 years old, or even in the 40s, should be matching a sag with their own sons, or why any woman in her 40s and 50s should be matching a sag with her daughters, or looking for men who do it. There are so many other serious issues that we have to address to put our children back on the right track by repairing our own problems, which is how we deal with each other on a relationship basis. How do we deal with each other on a broken relationship basis? How do we deal with each other as two people who clash but have a child together? What it is that we want to put aside of ourselves so our child can see the best of us? How do we teach our children to deal with racism that's out there, to deal with prostitution attempts from pimps that are out there? How do we teach them that? We're in the middle of doing all this other dumb nonsense that we're failing to look at what needs to be repaired that's important. We're too busy being a bunch of religious, different people who can't bring all of our powerful resources together for the sake of one community, common ground, and common need. Because we're too busy trying to judge each other on who serves what God. Meanwhile, whether you're a Muslim, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Christian, if there's a serial killer in your neighborhood and you all share the same space, they're not going to ask their victims which God you serve first. If it's a pedophile who happens to like children that are that are 12 years old and just getting their first training bra. He is not going to ask that little girl or that little boy who's just coming into his puberty whether they wear a yarmulke or if they wear a robe. So while all of this stuff needs to be addressed and repaired and put together, we're busy sagging. We're busy handing over the last control of what we have to stupid cult fashions. So I ask you again, are our men being effeminized by these silly trends? Or are they just silly trends? I'll ask you this from this point. Al Tariq, I'm going to go to you first. This could be just a trend. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say, I do believe that it does have a bad effect. It is a bad thing. It's not something that's great to see. It's annoying as hell, but I don't think it's effeminizing. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it should be just dismissed as a silly trend? Or do you think that even if, with it being a silly trend, that it does have some damaging effects? I'm going to ask you that. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying.
I don't necessarily, it doesn't have to necessarily be that because you're wearing a fag that you know, you're gay or something like that, but it's just really like a bad look, you know? And the funny thing about it, though, is that it's just so focused on, you know, as like it's like such a big thing when we have like a host of other things that's even more, you know, really truly detrimental, you know. And sometimes I wonder about this because it's been a thing when you go to the stores, they be like, well, you need to have your, if you're sagging, then you can't be this way or you can't be that way. And it just seemed like a host of things that's geared towards, you know, some type of way of trying to, like underrate, you know, the black male at the same time. Although that's not a good look, as I said. But when we get into certain things, and it's been going on for a lot of years now with this say, you know, and that's why I don't see it as a fad. When we wore Lee jeans and Wrangler suits and all that, those were fads. You know, they left. You know, you don't really see anybody doing it too often anymore. You know, but with that sag, that had went from a lot of generations. Like I said, I've been seeing people doing that since in the 80s, and it's still going on now. And we're almost up, you know, not far from 2020, and that's been going on since the 80s, since I've been seeing people doing the sag.
You know what, Al-Tariq, in the 80s, I remember seeing it too. But think about that. It's been going on for years. But in the 80s, saggers usually just came out of prison. Okay? Saggers usually were poor kids who, I know I had a father. Okay? I don't know where he got this mentality from, and I know that it was hell on his daughters, but he was so obsessed with his daughter's body shapes being seen through clothes. He literally took us to JCPenney's mail department. And if we had, of course, you know, our race, we got butts. So all his daughters had butts. So for those of them that had more than the other, he took them to the Husky men department. Because he wanted to make sure not one curve showed through the fabric. In addition to being a cheapskate. But definitely, his main stated purpose was, you're not going to go out there showing your legs and your butts and all that stuff to these little horny little boys out here. Okay, so I remember it would be either parents like that who bought their kids stuff that were way too big so that they wouldn't be too sexual in the minds of these old times, or they just came out of jail. And the one different thing between the Lee and Calvin Klein and Wrangler fad was this. None of those jeans had different aspects of offense to people, like the sagging trend does. There weren't people who could associate Lee jeans with prison, Calvin Klein with prison. Calvin Klein with homosexuality. They weren't anybody who had different, like, you know, cut me to the core type of offense because of that fashion. And if you can remember, the fad back then was, no, Lee jeans are just, they look too goofy. Oh, that's for poor people. Oh, Calvin Klein fit better. Oh, if you want to be hip, you got to go with the Wranglers.
Yeah.
You don't see that with trends, with the sagging trend. And I don't see skinny jeans belonging to any big person that makes skinny jeans something you have to go rush and get because it was the in thing to do.
Hmm.
I think the far back as I can remember was the little Spanish group Menudo. And people used to have rumors about that.
Yeah.
People used to have rumors about them. And Ricky Martin came from Menudo, so you see what happened with him.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, I kind of figured that about him anyway.
That's the one thing I will honestly say. That skinny jeans kind of was associated with.
But you know, Katie, we're talking about skinny jeans and sagging. If you look at some of these young people today, one of the craziest and the sickest things I've seen in for this year is a man twerking.
Oh God!
Now come on. Basically, you look for a woman to dance like that. Why in the hell would a young man want to dance like that? If that's not feminine, I don't know what is. And they have the nerve to even post them. When you see them, people posting that crap on Facebook a lot of times. And I look at it, I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding. Don't send me that crap.
There was somebody that in my job that was actually speaking on how their grandkids can do it, and they said it with pride. And I just looked and, like, shook in my head, because while they're doing all of that, what are we teaching them in that respect? Grow up and how do you dance on a stripper ball?
Grow up to be gay strippers or strippers, period.
My thoughts exactly on that one.
Well, y'all must
see how that.
The new video that came out just a little while ago that they were posting kind of crazily on the internet with a guy, he's a rapper, and he has a song called Boy P.U. You Know What.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Getting on to that fact, it was a guy that was a rapper who was supposedly encouraging physical fitness with twerking, had a whole bunch of young underage girls dropping down and twerking in front of him and filming it as a music video. Are you kidding me? How are all of these things helping to promote the strength in our men? Like I said, as outrageous as it is, I won't put this off on the teens being blamed, because they are going through that stupid phase. They're going through that exploratory phase. They're going to do some outrageous things for attention. I want to go back to what you said, Deacon, that a lot of times when the kids are rolling their eyes and sucking their teeth and acting like they're not listening, at the end of this dumb cycle they go through, what they're going to appreciate more than ever is that person that continually lectured them to death, that
right.
continually was on them, that continually say, uh-uh, nope, not here. I get it from my kids, and I know all of you have heard me say this before. Come on, Mom, it's 2014, and every year they tell me a new year, I go up 1 year or nine. It's 2014 out there. I don't control the world. It's 1987 in here, and I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And next year when it's 2015, it'll be 1988 in my house. Because the day that I start giving in is the day that I lose them. It's the day that they'll understand that everything that's going out there that's in a rampage of crap, that's wrong, is going to lead them down to the road of hell. And I'm not speaking spiritual. I'm speaking about hell right here on earth.
Yeah.
That's the day that they'll say, "Who? I knew it. We." Too much is going on. And I put it off on you grown folks. You grown women trying to wear your daughter's teenage miniskirts. You grown men twerking. Oh, my God. I don't know if any of you seen. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. There was a grown man, not too skinny either, in his underwear. And he started off the video saying something like this. Now, all you youngers out there talking about you know how to dance, I'm going to show you what it is to dance because y'all think that we grown folks can't get down. And this man started to twerk, and not only was he twerking his butt, but all of his oversized belly fat was gone with it. And it wasn't even boxers. It was Fruit of the Loom Tidy Whiteys. As funny as it should have been, I was so mad because I did not enjoy my cup of coffee watching that garbage. And he's telling the world how he's going to show them what to do and came out with some R. Kelly jam to go along with it. So where are our men? And how is anybody in the 40s and the 50s, I'm even going to say the 30s, comfortable with this? What happened to all of those men who promoted suspenders, who told their boys, put that belt on. When the pants got loops, they need belt. I used to hear that all the time. Even for me as a girl with jeans, where's your belt? The jeans could fit me with not an ounce of room for anything. Where's your belt? If the pants got loops, they need a belt. And why are your socks showing? Why don't you have socks on? Hey, what happened with that button? Where's your button open? To the boys going to church or going to an interview or wearing a shirt that just had buttons, where's your cufflinks?
Yeah.
Button up that button. The button in the hole was there for a reason. I used to have an uncle that said that all the time. What's the matter with you? Don't you see that you're not completely dressed? We're looking all over the place. Wait a minute. We got our shoes. There's a button on it that's not buttoned up. What's wrong with you? If it has a loop and it has a button, it's supposed to go together. And he's like, all right, Uncle Richie. Don't all right me. Put the button together.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid if I got it from the Spanish side. Because in addition to them telling you what the problem was, they told you how many problems you were for not getting the problem in Spanish. So what happened to the generation that remembered that there was a balance and there were two sides to the balance? There was a side for women, there was a side for men, and somewhere down the middle where it connected to the kids. What happened to those people that said, I have sons that's going to be a man one day, I've got daughters that's going to be a woman one day? What happened to the grown-ups that's supposed to be at the other side of the stupid phase for the teens to go, nope, take that stuff out your head because it's stupid? What are you doing? Pull your pants up, pull your skirts down. Button up your shirts, young ladies. I'm not all for getting so nunnery like that. If my daughter has a skirt that's a little bit above her knee, I'm going to flip out. But I'm going to definitely let her know Daisy Duke is long dead. And if you dress shorter than me in my 40-something, we have an issue. I'm not going to be twin mini-skirting with my daughter. And I'm definitely not looking for a grown man trying to show me his 40-year-old buttocks and his heart underwear with sagging pants. I got to go to a break. They're not going in yet, but I will be back after word from our sponsors, and we will continue this discussion. Now, for those of you who missed me in the beginning, New York Knicks won. Ha! So for those of you talking that the Raptors got it, they did not, thank you. You'll be back here in the garden on Sunday, and I will be there. Now, here we're going out Which?
Net loss.
What?
Net loss.
Nice. Nice. All right. Dear Lloyd, I want you back. Be back after her and a word from our sponsors. Keep it locked right here, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. La, 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 la.
Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. Thank you for bearing with us through our short little break. Okay, to those of you just joining us, Tonight's episode is entitled The Sagging Trend and Skinny Jeans, Silly Trends or the Feminization of Our Men. Okay, this is what we have been discussing. We have two, well, we had three, one dropped, but we had two absolutely intriguing individuals giving their spin on it. Plus, I want once again to shout out my social media groups because they were active in the pre-broadcast discussion here on Wednesday, where they spoke about, we spoke about whether or not the sagging trend is just a silly phase that we have to just live through and bear with, or is it actually contributing to the feminization of our men, particularly our African-American men, because the sagging trend seems to be majorly worn by these guys. And we have brought up this. There was a time that regardless of what our oppressions were, regardless of what our struggles were financially, economically, or otherwise, men had a culture. Now, most of it was because I guess they were always so paranoid about men being affiliated with anything that was feminine. Boys couldn't play with dolls. There were certain interests that belonged to girls for some reason, mainly exposing any intimate part of their body in fashion might have enticed homosexuals. And I remember that was definitely a fear because the unknown or the different is always fearful to people who don't like to open up their minds and explore what is or what isn't about something. Now, I see there's another panelist with us. I'll bring all three of you in just a sec. Where it is a widespread thing where we mostly see among our children, our teens nowadays, there have been quite a widespread acceptance and practice of it among our grown men and women as well. And that, to me, is where the problem lies. I don't like where our youth is going. You guys have heard me say this over and over again, but you also know that at the end of this, and either in the beginning of it or behind it and in front of it, is the lack of the generation before it picking up their own accountability and role in continuing the betterment of our futures. Each generation is supposed to make the next one better. We learn from the mistakes of our previous generation. We also learn from the successes of it. And we're supposed to put our own contribution into it to make the next generation have a better set to work with. So my question is, the sagging trend and the skinny jeans, does this contribute to the effeminization of our men? Now, just Thursday, Wednesday night, we had a very intriguing discussion. We had a new caller in, Ms. Renee, who spoke of a very important point. Nowadays, the media is sort of making homosexuality or coming out as a homosexual something that people are compelled to do and we must see. It's something that everybody must know. They try to put it off as we must be aware, when really the way that it comes out offers no benefit or no progress or no progressive attributes to the field or the consequence or the circumstance in which it was brought out. So, in essence, is bringing this to the front page beneficial, or is it really helping other people who are living with something that other people find different, untraditional, or less than worthy to be able to speak their ground or speak their points or stand up for themselves? Or is it just something to feed the media and give more fodder to fuel hatred and to discrimination? That was the question then. What she brought up was, nowadays everything seems to be pointing toward openly accepting homosexuality as the new broad thing. Society state. And in essence, is this sagging trend helping to not only foster that, but to bring down and break down what's strong about men, what it is about men that makes them men? Okay, so we're going to have our panelists rejoin us in the last half hour. Deacon, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Al Tariq, are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and let me bring in our next panelist. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. This is Professor Carl Tone Jones calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, Professor.
Hey, Professor.
Welcome. All right, well, you have not had a chance, so you're going to be up first. Do you believe the sagging trend and the skinny jeans trend are just silly fashion trends, or is it contributing to the effeminization of our male, especially our African-American males?
It's definitely contributing to the effemination of and I'll just say a black men. When you look historically, there were different things put in motion to disenfranchise black men and black families. And to destabilize the black families, you know, the powers that be, you know, that we all discuss, they realized that they had to first remove the black male from the home. So when you see movies like Claudine and you see how systemically black men were kept out of the homes by the social services and social workers and the welfare departments and things of that nature, you know, you get the full understanding of where this all began. And then you fast forward and then you look at what's happening. You know, there was a rapper, his name was Eazy-E, Eric Wright, but his stage name was Eazy-E. He had a song, and I found it interesting because one of his songs, he had a video, and there was a part in this video that a young lady asked him. He said, "Eazy-E, why do you, and let me preface this first. During the video, he was shooting the video from behind the jail cell. You know, so he was behind the bars at the jail when he was shooting the video. And the young lady asked him, well, why do you wear your pants so low? And he said, I wear my pants like this for easy access. Now, when you think about what, you know, the interviews, if you interview prisoners and so forth nowadays, basically they'll tell you that the sagging tradition began in jail, and it began for men who were letting other men know that they were easy access or they were available. So when you bring that to the streets, those guys want that trend from jail to the streets. And then when people are in the streets, you know, I had several friends who were incarcerated. And when they came out, they said, listen, and they started pointing the guy who was driving by. And they said, see that guy right there? See him? He said, yeah. He said, when we were in prison, they were all dressed up as women. So when they came out of jail, they maintained a lot of that by keeping their pants sagged. And what a lot of our youth don't understand is that hindsight is 20/20 and perception is reality. Now, what you got going on now is you can't tell the difference between men and women when you're walking around the streets. And it's interesting how if you look back to the teachings of Dr. Neely Fuller, who I'm just beginning to look into, Dr. Francis Quest Wilson, Dr. Amos Wilson, and you look into all their teachings, they talk about a time where the effemination of black men is going to take place, so eventually, so where black men are going to be wearing skirts and high heels. Now, you know, you have to go that. When you think about that, think about the declaration that was made by the president at Morehouse University just last year, when he made a declaration stating that men cannot walk around on campus wearing high heel shoes and dresses. You know, so you know, is it the effemination? Is it just the fad or the effemination? It's the effemination, but it's popularized because it's made trendy. And now that's how you suck the youth in. You make something trendy. I mean, that's how you suck anybody in. You make things trendy, and people want to be a part of it. People want to join it, and people will do foolish things sometimes and act in foolish ways to be a part of something. So our youth right now who really don't have any guidance, and the people who are pointing fingers at them should realize when you take that finger and you extend it, you have four more fingers pointing towards you. And that's who should have been responsible for letting our children know that this was the direction this was the intention, and that there is a bigger social agenda at hand. And now it's just out of control, spiraling out of control. You got the little Wayans coming out there with pants and kissing men, and it's being publicized. You have the gay rappers being recognized. It's just got Macklemore, and now everybody's coming out of the closet. And I'm not trying to equate the two, but you have to look at the fact that these things are happening simultaneously. I don't think there's an accident here. So, in all, I just basically believe, that this is something that was planned. And look out, because, you already had Puffy out there, and I believe it was Pharrell wearing dresses and skirts. And, so we have to look into where this is going, because if we don't step in and address it now, we're going to have an asexual community that doesn't produce. And once we stop producing and stop reproducing, then we're going to be in some real serious trouble. I mean, we're in serious trouble now, but nothing like we will be in the next 10 years if we don't reverse this trend.
You know what, Professor? You were on the last segment with us when we were speaking on the gay athletes coming out and the reason, what the reason was for that, questioning the motives behind it. And I don't know if it was you or if it was Renee that brought up that, promoting black men as, homosexuals sort of eliminates the reproducing abilities or the possibility of reproduction. And that was one of the things I was thinking about today. It's just that I'm seeing, it as offensive or as enraging as it is to see our teens doing it. I'll go back again to say that teens are known for doing outrageous things in their time of exploring, of trying to find themselves, of searching for their identities. I have a problem with these grown adults encouraging, joining them, doing whatever, and especially the older that they get. Because where do we put into place that option, that other path, that guidance, that formation of what's to come? Where do we tell these kids that what they're going through, as crazy as it seems, as unchanging as it seems, this is just the phase. It's part of growing pains. It's teenage stuff. As outrageous as it seems, been there, done that. So where exactly do we keep that next door or the next road over if we're continuing to help them walk along in this path and showing them acceptance by joining them? My problem is more with the older generation. So I want to ask you, what do you think it is that's behind the motives of these older people doing?
What are you talking about? The elders to these children?
Yeah, the elders to these kids that are joining them, the father and son twin side team.
Well, see, Katie, you have to understand that we as a people, we don't have any idea of our history. We don't have any idea of our self-worth. In fact, we look at ourselves as deficits to the world. The world would be better without us, so why not blend in and become part of something else? And nowadays, there's the leadership. There's a void of leadership in the community. There's a void of leadership in the household. There's a void of leadership in the family. So you have the go-along and get-along mentality with a lot of the men. And what you find is that the reason why the men are into this stuff is because they don't have a creative way of attaching or bonding with their child as men. So what they do is they try to blend in with their children. They try to befriend their children instead of being fathers to their children, instead of showing their children that, I've been knocked down a few times, but look at me get back up, and being a responsible model for the children. Our whole moral scale is skewed. Morality in the black community means manhood is about how many women do you sleep with, what kind of car do you drive, what type of clothes do you wear. It's not based on being responsible for raising your family and instilling values. It's not based on standing there and speaking truth to power. Those things those values are elusive in the black household nowadays, because for one, it goes up against white supremacy. And as I've stated many times on the show and other places, the black community is terrified when going up against the system of white supremacy and even speaking truth to power, because they're afraid of the backlash that comes with it. So if we continue to be afraid of the backlash that comes with it, then what do? We go to the alternative. There's no backlash for a grown man to be walking around in tight jeans, sagging pants, pants sagging off of them. There's no backlash, and then you see it in popular culture. I mean, we're trying not to give rappers too much credit, but let's be real. These children and adults look to these rappers as role models, and sometimes they even idolize them. And when you see, when you see the Jay-Z's of the world, who a lot of people still idolize, and he's walking on stage with tight pants and they're hanging off his behind, and you see these brothers out there talking about, you know, what he's saying, this, that, and the other, don't think that that vibration is not going through and being that precedent is not being set, that he's emulating a status and style and morals that they would like to take part in. So what you have is, you have a people with no morals, or our morals are corrupted, and those of us, those of us who are speaking against it or trying to buck the trend are looked at as the ones who are out of touch with reality. And not only are we looked at as being out of touch with reality, we're looked at as being, you know, they throw terms around like conspiracy theorists, cuckoos, get away from me with all that black man talk and black power talk and African talk and this, that, and the other, when because it spits in the face and it speaks truth to the power structure, and that frightens a lot of people, because a lot of people don't want that work.
Now, I'm gonna touch on just a small part of that, and then I want to bring up another little aspect of the fagging trend. I do agree with you that lack of leadership, especially in today's African American society, is a big cut. As we mentioned before, those few remaining organizations for African Americans that are intact usually have this "it's my way or the highway" type scenario, where I see you panelists, I'll bring you in just a minute. It's this "my way or the highway" scenario where join our culture, join our ways, or we keep our knowledge of success to ourselves. You know, and while we keep it to ourselves, we're going to put you down in the process, or continue to let you look like idiots or fail yourself. Okay, they're not saying that outright, but their actions clearly stated. The other thing that I wanted to say was, while we're talking about the feminization of our men, this is also sort of giving masculinity to the women, because actually the women participants of the sagging trend that I see are usually those that are playing the role of men in a gay relationship. That's usually who I see that are sagging like the guys. They have boxers like the guys. They're walking around with, you know, men haircuts. They're doing whatever. Because I think that if you had women just sagging, just outright sagging, you see a lot of thongs, a lot of bikinis, you know, things to that effect. That's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing boxers on women. I'm seeing girls wearing wife beaters with suspenders, but not for the pants.
You're seeing Chloe.
I'm seeing that up top. Say that again.
You're seeing Chloe. You know, Queen Latifah's role on, I forget the movie, with the four sisters that were robbing banks. Set It Off. Yeah, you're seeing Chloe from Set It Off. And that is another aspect of it, and if you go deeper into that, that also comes from the prison culture, from what's happening when females go to jail. That's what they're bringing back to the streets.
Precisely what I brought up earlier. This sagging trend is something that, why do we adopt these negative projected images to call it our own, to cool it up and make it our own, make it a fashion trend? And the thing is, as I brought up earlier, sagging trend really it's our people that's doing it, and you rarely see any white boys walking around with sagging pants unless they're trying to associate with the cool, hip fad of being black.
They call it slumming.
They call it slumming.
They call it slumming.
Right.
You know, they're slumming. When they're trying to act black, they call it slumming. You know, that's the
whole
phrase nowadays.
That's the way that they, right. The way they're involved with us is by saying that they like who they feel would be a real big rapper in our mind. I told you, I had one walk up to me and goes, oh, I don't like these guys. There was a white concert going on. Oh, you like this music? I don't. I like Jay-Z. And he put the biggest smile on his face. When he said, I looked at him and said, you do? I hate him. You don't like Jay-Z? Like, what? That was like a reaction
like
that.
Jay-Z.
You know, right, but I mean, like, it was like the biggest foreign concept for this Caucasian to hear that a black woman didn't like a black rapper. And it was a big thing for him to feel that he knew that name and that he liked that name. So that must mean that he's in with the brothers and sisters. And what people don't seem to get is that's just ignorance. I'm not going to like a singer simply because they're black, because there's a lot of music I don't like, and it's my culture. I don't like to listen to salsa all day, and I'm Puerto Rican and black. I don't like all reggae all day. I couldn't do that. I like anything that I consider good music, period. But it's the concept, the perceptions of what people feel is hip, is in, it's associated with us, it's stereotyped. Let me bring another panelist because there's only a few minutes left. Hang on a sec. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Renee.
Renee, welcome. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Renee.
All right, I was wondering if you would come back. You know what? A lot of what you said in our part one of this really forced tonight's topic, in addition to the fact that, frankly, I'm tired of seeing everybody's behind with unfitting pants. It's driving me bananas. But I think what enraged me most is not so much the kids, but the adults that's fostering this with them, that's helping them do this. So what's your take? Do you feel that the sagging trend and skinny jean fashion trends are just silly trends, or are they effeminizing our men?
They're definitely trying to emasculate black men. But I wanted to touch on something real quick, and then I'm going to say that because I feel like two parts of it. One part, okay. If you look now, a lot of states or cities are now having this rule that if you sag, they can fine you. You can get a ticket.
Awesome.
So that's what I thought at first, but when I thought about it, and I really thought about it, I think it's a $50 ticket, and if they catch you again, it's $100 and so forth. But that's right there. That's going to disproportionately affect young black men. But the second thing to that is you're already introducing them into the criminal justice system that much sooner in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that even though that's a ticket, that still goes against you, so to speak. And by doing that, a lot of these families they come from, they don't have $50. The mom doesn't have $50 to throw away on a ticket because the boy was sagging. And so what does that do then? A lot of them won't pay. That'll accumulate. And, again, you have young men, younger and younger, no matter what age they are, you know, 13, 14, 15, already in the system. Here they go. Welcome to the criminal justice system of America. So I just wanted to say that really quick. But the other side of it, the fashion side, I mean, they use us against each other, use what we like against us. I can't remember the video, but a guy who was worked for the CIA or FBI, and he was a black guy, and so he infiltrated a lot of different groups. And he said they have so many files on black people and what we do. And one of the things at that time they got big into was the music. So they were figuring out how to use the music to put a message, you know, to people, which is what's going on now. So we have to be honest and say that most of our children in the black community, who they look to are the rappers. are the people on TV. I mean, you know, it's reality. It's stupid to sit here and say, oh, well, no, their role model should be, you know, their mother or a person who's doing well. But that's not the reality of it. These generations now, they look to TV. So when they see somebody like Kanye West with a dress on, with a skirt on, who else? Pusha T, ASAP Rocky, so many rappers that are really, really big with the young guys. This guy named Young Thug, you guys need to look him up. But he has on, I mean, it just broke my heart, y'all. He has on a leather half top and a leather mini skirt. I kid you not. And his name is Young Thug. He's supposed to be a killer and hardcore and this and that. And so this is the image now that they're being pushed. And look at how much, if you go back to the 80s, look at how the gangster rap, see, that's when they really started pushing that. When the gangster rap thing came out, look at how much that changed the black community with the gangs and how much everybody adapted to that lifestyle. Now look at what it is now. They're putting out dresses and skirts. So they're sending a message to young black men, well, hey, it's not that bad to wear a dress or a skirt. And so once you start introducing them to doing things like that, to get them to go further, it's easy. Because you've already took the first step. Once you put on the dress, then what's wrong with putting on a little more? Or what's wrong with fully dressing up like a woman? I mean, there, you know, there's a time where we thought these things would never happen. I mean, I'm an 80s baby, but just even in my life. I mean, think about the rapper, you know, back in the day. None of them, just to think about it, I couldn't think about some of them even dare putting on a dress or a skirt, no matter if that was
a fashion trend. Can you imagine Melly Mel or Grandmaster Flash in a dress?
Right, right, exactly.
Can you imagine? Exactly. I mean, can you think about, you know, oh, my goodness. But first of all, you said you're an 80s baby. I'm old, so don't, you know, you made me feel old just now because I'm an 80s kid.
I'm
an 80s kid, but you have, you have a knowledge of my, you know, back in my day. But I'm going to say this to you, just something that you mentioned as well. One of the things that I wanted to touch on with regards to the ticket for sagging, I also thought about the other half of that, where it is mostly the African-American kids that are dressing that way. But then there's another little point to that, a reality check. And this is what I mean by that.
Yeah.
I thought about this part to it. A lot of where our teens are going nowadays is because the damn parents are trying to be friends and not parents anymore. Maybe
absolutely.
If those parents who don't have the $50 to do it would now say, from that aspect, you're not walking the hell out of my house wearing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pop
mm-hmm.
up at your school to make sure you didn't put it in a bag to wear it on your way out to school, because that's the oldest mm-hmm. trick in the book. Maybe that will help us snap into a point where I know, Professor Jones, you say all often that based on our history, it's kind of hard for the modern-day generation to reconnect with what they have or what they are or what they can be. And I understand
absolutely.
That, and more so now than I ever have. But I will say this, maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need shock therapy in the positive way, because we seem too much to be embracing shock therapy by stupid controversies. Okay?
But you know what?
Go ahead, honey, go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say we tend to adopt things that make us noticeable by shock therapy in the wrong direction. Like, you know, as much as I hate saying this man's name, and I just took a Pepsi so that my stomach acid could stay neutralized, but Tommy Sotomayor. That's the way he wants to bring out real important issues by bringing down his own people. Isn't that what they're asking us to do? To make it easy on them and sort of blow up our own troop yard, you know? So he has good things to say, good points to make with bad delivery.
But see,
we're
this,
pointing
this
it at
a lot,
go ahead.
A lot of this, though, is when you look at it, the rappers and the people who are making the music, who are setting the trends, they sold out. So even though they came from these neighborhoods and they know what it's like being broke and being in the hood or whatever you want to call it, even though they know that, once you get hooked into that world of Hollywood or whatever you want to call it, that's it. So they don't have a connection anymore, and they don't feel any sort of guilt or pain for what they're doing, even though that they know they're hurting young black people by putting on dresses, by setting these trends and doing these kind of things. They know the effects of what of what's going to happen. And it just shows you, too, how disconnected, you know, our community really is. And, you know, the fact that they don't even care about these young men, young black men doing anything. And I know that a lot of people, every time you see, you know, black kids doing something, it's like, okay, where's the parents? Where's the parents? But that's the problem. Like you said, the parents are the friends. The parents are too busy trying to be young and do their own thing, because you have to realize how many teenage mothers, you know, how many kids are the result of teenage mothers. So a lot of these women feel like, hey, I'm still young. I want to do what I want to do. So she's trying to party, and the kid is trying to party. And so you have, and then a lot of the fathers are not in the home. We have a 74% you know, single mother rate in the black community. I mean, that's astounding. So if there's nobody at home, they look to these people on TV, and then it's easier to fall into these traps. And like always, they know,
I'm sorry, baby. I need to cut you only because there's like about 6 minutes left, and there's a couple of things I need from you. Actually, you have a Facebook account?
I do, yeah.
I need, if you can, could you kindly friend request me, because I want to add you to our group. The other thing that I wanted to bring up was, even though I believe you're a new caller, I don't know how long you've been listening in, one of the main things that I have touched on quite a bit, and I know the rest of the panel here has been on it, has been how those rappers who are the biggest, I guess, connectors or idols that our children exalt, pretty much, have used the struggle that they've come from and as their power base for success, yeah. But don't do a thing to make it happen for the rest of us. Jay-Z, to me, is the biggest sellout. Kanye is the biggest idiot. Okay?
Yeah.
So those
don't
are the things
Dr.
that
Dre.
And Dr. Joe, oh, please. Dr. Dre, he's like behind the scenes, on the scene, behind the scenes and back. But all of these people that are out there. And the thing is, Professor Jones brings this up often, and we talk about this. We continue to support him. We're the first
yes.
people waiting on that
yes.
that 3 hour or 3 week line to get this the latest you know, paraphernalia coming out,
yeah.
the latest hoodie, the latest footwear. Stand online
yeah.
for their tickets, wait for their single to drop. Then we're the first ones out there going, ah, Jay-Z said this. And
yeah.
Jay-Z also stood right there with Barney's and said, don't worry about, you know, knocking our people over and saying that they can't afford to come and shop
right.
here. I want to put a line in your store.
Yeah.
And there'll be a bunch of idiots out there saving up 5 months' worth of electricity money to go right to Barney's to buy one belt because Jay-Z's name is on it.
What is your Facebook? Because I just want to get there because I just pulled it up.
Katie Barnett, K-A-Y-D-E-E. And then it's Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T.
We're doing it right now. Okay, yeah, I see you.
Okay. Yes, just friend me because I was trying to connect with you after the last show, and things went down. Well, we're down to our last 3 minutes. Deacon, I want to thank you, Al Tariq, Professor, as always. Renee, wonderful addition. There's somebody else listening in. Hi there, I see you, so hello. And I want to thank Shayla, who couldn't come in with us. But I do want to say that all of you make what we're trying to do so much worth the effort. As much as it seems on a daily basis like our people are just not getting it, I know that if we stop, they never will. So
right.
I'm trying really hard to keep this going. And people like you coming forth to show that you're listening and you're aware, we are the ones that are charged with the responsibility of fighting that fight until they can. I have
right.
many children and grandchildren as well. And if for nothing else, until by my faith the Lord comes back to take us, we have to do something that we can to give them the best shot possible. You know, make them aware. Professor Jones does it on a daily basis. You speaking out, I don't know what your profession is, but You're doing your part as a member of society. You know, all of these things make a difference. And not about going out there trying to storm the mountaintop. That opportunity has long passed. Our church doors have closed up, the community doors to open up the virtual reality doors. You know, so we've lost that beacon. Too many of these religious people are fighting because they don't believe in the same God. Rather than pulling together their financial and political connections to benefit the overall community, they're too busy trying to say, well, I know how to do this, and, you know, if you can't join us, then you move away. Oh, I could invest in you, but do you believe in Buddha? I mean, what does that matter?
Mm-hmm.
What does it matter? But I have touched on it, and if you can go to the website, you can hear of all of our archives on just this. I do believe that all of these people in the rapping field and the singing field, media, arts, and entertainment, are obligated to give back to the community,
yes.
Maybe not with
yes.
money, but with opportunities. Because
I want to say, tell you real quick why I said that about Dr. Dre, because he gave USC $35 million. And that was just a slap in the face to the black community, I feel. Why does USC, their black population is something like 5%. The children that go there usually come from rich backgrounds. You got to have money to go there in the first place. So, anyway,
wow.
I was very upset about that. 35
okay,
million.
Okay, yeah, I just got the call that we're about to cut it. So, until tomorrow, well, Monday night, everybody, with the topics tomorrow with the Saturday Showcase, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, keep doing what we're doing, and we're the ones that have to get up and tell these kids to pull their damn pants up. Stand up and be a man, and to those of you being kids, stand up and be a man in your kid's life. So until Monday night at 10:30, everybody, I'll see you then. God bless you all.
Thank you. Right
on.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.